Thank you all very much for coming. I'm very excited to be able to share with you today a study that we did that evaluated physician adoption of adolescent TDAP recommendations. As I'm sure many people in the audience are aware, pertussis is actually one of the only vaccine-preventable diseases that has had an increasing incidence over the last several decades. And this graph to the right here shows the annual number of reported cases of pertussis by year from 1922 to 2000 in the United States. And you can see that over time there's been a very dramatic decrease in pertussis cases. But if you focus on this small graph up in the upper right-hand corner, that's actually the number of cases of pertussis over the last two decades, so from 1980 to 2000, and you can see that there's been a consistent increase in this disease over time. We know that adolescents are at a very high risk of contracting pertussis and actually represent one of the major reservoirs of infection and source of outbreaks. So because of this increasing incidence of pertussis, there was a lot of interest in trying to combat this increase through vaccination. And in 2005, as many people know, two vaccines that combined the tetanus, diphtheria, and acellular pertussis antigens were licensed for use in this country. Shortly after that, the ACIP recommended that all adolescents between the ages of 11 to 18 receive Tdap, the combined vaccine, instead of the tetanus booster as had been previously recommended. Around the time that the ACIP was deliberating about its recommendations for this new vaccine, there was a study that was done of pediatricians and family practitioners to try to inform the ACIP in their deliberations about Tdap. And this study was aimed at trying to assess provider attitudes and likelihood of use for Tdap in the future with the anticipation that the vaccine was going to soon become available. What this previous study showed was that there was actually only moderate support for replacing adolescent TD boosters with Tdap. In fact, only about 57% of the physicians surveyed indicated that they agreed with the idea that pertussis was a serious enough disease to warrant adding a pertussis antigen to the currently existing TD booster. And in fact, what the study showed was that overall, family practitioners were far less enthusiastic about the incorporation of Tdap into the adolescent schedule than were pediatricians. However, regardless of medical specialty, all of the physicians surveyed in general, there was a general consensus that lack of adolescent visits were identified both as a barrier to current TD administration, that was the recommendation at the time of the study, and it was also poses a potential barrier for the future to Tdap administration. So now a couple years have passed since the vaccines were licensed and the ACIP recommendations came out, so we were interested in doing a follow-up study to see how these physician attitudes that had been assessed prior to Tdap recommendations actually played out. So the research objectives of our study were twofold. First, to determine physician practices regarding the uptake of adolescent Tdap recommendations, and second, to evaluate whether specialty-based disparities in attitudes and practices regarding Tdap still existed. To do this, we performed a national survey on a random sample of 725 family practitioners and 725 pediatricians that we drew from the American Medical Association's master file. And our exclusion criteria were physicians who were over the age of 70, those who were still in their residency training, those who provided care at federal facilities such as a VA hospital, because our specific focus was on adolescent vaccination, those who indicated that they did not provide any outpatient adolescent care, and those who were not currently in practice or had retired. The study design was a mail-based survey. It was a four-page survey consisting of 23 questions that focused on utilization patterns of the vaccine, attitudes about the vaccines, barriers, perceived barriers to stocking and administering Tdap vaccines, the use of Tdap with another adolescent-focused vaccine, Menactra, also known as MCV4, and physicians' perception about acceptable intervals of Tdap following TD booster in some adolescent patients. We performed three mailings that occurred during January through March of 2007 and included a $5 incentive with our first mailing. We used descriptive statistics to look at each individual variable, chi-squared analyses for bivariate associations, and multivariable logistic regression to look at our main outcome of interest, which was understanding the predictors of routinely recommending Tdap vaccines to adolescents. In terms of our response rate, we had 287 surveys out of the 1,450 that were excluded, primarily due to bad addresses, so these were undeliverable surveys, and a handful that were found later to have participants who didn't fulfill our inclusion criteria. So out of the 1,163 surveys that remained as potential participants, we had 702 usable surveys returned for an overall response rate of 60%. And you can see that pediatricians were more likely to have returned the survey than family practitioners. However, there was no differences with regard to age, gender, medical degree, geographic area of practice, or years since graduation between respondents and non-respondents. This is a table of the respondent characteristics, and the first column lists all of the respondents combined together, and then I've separated out family practitioners and pediatricians. And you can see that most of the respondents were between the ages of 35 to 50. Most had graduated between 10 and 25 years ago. And about 70% indicated that between 10 and 25% of their practice consisted of adolescent patients. There was a fairly widespread in previous experience diagnosing adolescent pertussis, and in fact I was somewhat surprised to see that approximately a third of our sample had actually never diagnosed adolescent pertussis, but nearly half had diagnosed it 45% of the time, and a significant proportion that had diagnosed adolescent pertussis more than six times. However, as you can see, for two of these demographic characteristics, there were some substantial differences between family practitioners and pediatricians, with, as you might expect, pediatricians being more likely to see adolescent patients and being more likely to have had a higher level of previous diagnostic experience with adolescent pertussis. My cup here somewhere. Excuse me. So, one of the main outcomes we were interested in was understanding the recommendation practices of these physicians. And we divided our question into two recommendation groups. So we asked physicians about the likelihood that they would recommend Tdap vaccines to 11 to 12-year-old adolescents, as this is the preferred age for Tdap vaccination, and then also to 13 to 18-year-old adolescents, which is also an acceptable age for Tdap vaccination. And what you can see is that the vast majority of physicians indicated that they would routinely recommend the vaccine to both adolescent age groups, so 87 to 89%. But again, there were some fairly significant differences between family practitioners and pediatricians, with pediatricians being much more likely to routinely recommend these vaccines for both adolescent age groups than family practitioners. We then looked at physician characteristics that were associated with routinely recommending the vaccine to adolescents. And these are data from the 11 to 12-year-old recommendation. I'm not actually going to show the 13 to 18-year-old because the patterns of association were essentially identical. What you can see was that we found four characteristics that were associated in bivariate analyses with them routinely recommending the Tdap vaccine. These included membership in a professional medical society, for example, the AAP or the AAFP, stocking Tdap actually in the practice, medical specialty, as I mentioned, and previous diagnostic experience with adolescent pertussis. Factors that we analyzed that were not associated with routinely recommending Tdap included practice size, practice affiliation, for example, if it was a public health clinic versus a private practice, the number of outpatients overall seen per week, and the percent of adolescent patients. When we performed the multivariable logistic regression, what we found was that out of these four factors, only stocking Tdap in the practice and medical specialty remained statistically significantly associated with the outcome, which was somewhat interesting. So all of these previous questions had been asking physicians to talk about how they would recommend Tdap in a patient who had not yet received a TD booster, but we know that there are a lot of adolescents who have already received TD, so we had one question that assessed acceptable time intervals, the minimal time interval that a physician would give Tdap following TD in an adolescent patient, and you can see that approximately half indicated that they would wait about 5 years. 44% of the sample indicated that they would only wait 2 years, and 5% of the sample indicated that they would actually even go less than 2 years under specific and certain conditions. For example, if there was an infant who had not yet received vaccination living in the household. And again, you can see that there are fairly significant differences between pediatricians and family practitioners, with pediatricians being more likely to indicate that a shorter time interval was acceptable. When we assessed co-administration of Tdap with Menactra, we found that over 90% of physicians indicated that they would co-administer the two vaccines. And again, this was more likely to be the case amongst pediatricians than family practitioners. However, of the 61 physicians who indicated that they would not co-administer the two vaccines, 43% specifically stated that they would wait 1 month, and 30% indicated that they really didn't have a specific amount of time that they would wait between the two vaccines. And the remaining percentiles that are not listed here were just kind of a mishmash of different answers, or they didn't respond to the question, this part of the question. Stocking Tdap was found in our earlier analyses to be a very important predictor of routinely recommending the vaccine to adolescents, and we found that 90% of the physicians stocked some form of Tdap in their practice. So approximately half stocked Adacel, 15% stocked Boostrix, 15% stocked both, and 21% were unsure. And I was actually surprised to see that more pediatricians indicated that they stocked Adacel than family practitioners, which is a little unusual given the expanded age range of Adacel. But this may be counteracted by the fact that more family practitioners indicated that they were unsure of which of the Tdap vaccines they stocked in their practice. Because this was such an important factor in our multivariable logistic regression analysis, we then looked at characteristics that were associated with stocking Tdap in the office, and we found five physician characteristics that were associated with this outcome in bivariate analyses. As you might expect, medical specialty, with pediatricians being more likely than family practitioners to stock Tdap, professional society membership, increasing previous diagnostic experience with pertussis, practice size, and being in a practice that offers other public stock of vaccines in addition to Tdap. Tdap stocking was not, however, associated with practice affiliation, number of outpatients seen per week, or the percent of adolescent patients. We next asked, amongst those physicians that stocked Tdap, we asked about the barriers to administering the vaccine. And consistent with a previous study, what we found was that lack of adolescence was again identified as the most common major barrier to administering this vaccine to their patients. In contrast, issues such as being too busy with other priorities during adolescent visits or record keeping and knowing who needs Tdap were the least commonly identified major barriers. For those physicians who did not stock Tdap in their practice, we asked about barriers to why this was so. And of the 70 physicians who indicated that they didn't stock Tdap in the practice, a low volume of adolescent patients was the most commonly cited barrier, and followed shortly thereafter by increased cost of Tdap relative to TD and inadequate reimbursement for vaccines in general. So in conclusion, our national survey of physicians indicates that the ACIP recommendations for adolescent Tdap have been largely adopted by both pediatricians and family practitioners, and that most physicians actually indicate that they routinely recommend this vaccine to both the preferred age range for adolescents at 11 to 12 as well as to older adolescents. However, we did see that there was fairly substantial specialty-based differences in vaccination practices that have persisted over this time. In addition to medical specialty, stocking Tdap in the practice was found to be a very important predictor of routinely recommending this vaccine, which is sort of unusual because you would expect that a recommendation shouldn't necessarily be linked to whether or not you had the vaccine in the practice. So this is something that we're interested in potentially pursuing further. And as I showed you just recently, lack of adolescent visits persists as a major barrier to providing this vaccine. The main limitation of our study was response bias related to any type of survey-based study. The respondents that we had may be inherently more interested in immunization issues than the non-respondents or have other characteristics that we didn't measure that could affect our interpretation of the data. But nevertheless, the implications of our study is that there appears to be an ongoing need to educate providers, particularly family practitioners, about the need for Tdap vaccination, and that this education perhaps should include information on how to incorporate Tdap with other adolescent vaccines, such as Menactra, and some clarification of the acceptable time intervals between a person who has received a TD booster and now needs a Tdap. Finally, addressing practice-level barriers, such as the ability to stock the vaccine in the office, may actually improve adolescent vaccination rates for this vaccine and could have a spillover effect for improving vaccination rates for other adolescent vaccines as well. So thank you very much for your time and for the questions.